Thank you, preacher. Amen. Well, I say amen.
Amen.
Amen. He said a lot of what was on my heart. You can go to Psalms 89. I don't know if we're going to get there. But Mississippi, y'all got a reputation down here preaching double married preachers. I just thought I'd tell you. Now, I hadn't been down here just a couple of times. I've been to Pontotoc, and I've been here, and I'll be going to wherever Brother Timothy Henderson's pastoring. It's a bad area. I'll feel more comfortable there. Y'all make me nervous, you city people. But I mean, you got a reputation down here. That's probably why your preacher was under a burden tonight. And it ought not be that way. Brother Ernest, I've been saved to be 35 years in December. And when I got saved, there was a gray area, or there was a, can I say, a conservative side, and there was a liberal side. I mean, and you knew who the conservatives were. When I got saved, my brother, the men that I was around, and went to Faith Baptist, all you had to say is Brother Sammy Allen. Well, you was King James, you was premillennial. I mean, all them doctrines was already laid out. But then there was a liberal side, and they knew who they were, and they stayed on their side. But then came this gray area, and you had started having the conservatives step in the gray area and shake hands with the liberal and swapping money. The Bible said the love of money. Money ain't a bad thing. I need it. I need gas to get home. I got a siphon hose, but we will get home. But the love of money is the root of all evil. I'm going to try to get Psalms 89 for just a moment. Look at one verse. But before I got saved, I was addicted to a lot of things. And I ain't proud of it. Don't say much about it anymore. But I've seen men in ministry be addicted to power. As bad as any cocaine addict. They didn't have meth when I'd probably be dead and in hell if they had meth 35 years ago. But I've seen people on cocaine. I've seen people drunk. Sad to say, such were some of you. But I've seen men sell out their generation. And I'm 62. I'm not the oldest, but I'm not the youngest anymore. And the men that went before me, they give me a clear path. They identified. You knew who they were, what they were, and you know you liked them or you didn't. And they tried to love you if you'd let them. You know, the Bible said faithful are the wounds of a friend. The kisses of the enemy are deceitful. And one thing that I feel for these young, Brother Jacob, these younger men that are coming on in ministry, if the Lord doesn't come back soon, you're going to have some hard choices. Because some men my age and older are making it complicated. And then that confuses your congregation. Because everybody's got some sort of social media. And I call them the happy clappy crowd. You see the happy clappy. And it's, you know, they got a screen and they're dancing and all this. And then you got the hollering coon dog crowd. You know, you ever seen somebody holler at a coon dog? And it don't matter what you say, it's just how you say it. And you know who ends up losing when it's all said and done? It's the church. And God loves His church. He loves His church. And I pray that the Lord would protect it and help these young men. And this gray area, I don't know what to do with it. I just know that I found my lot and I want to finish my course. And I don't want to be mad about it, but I want to be straight about it. And I want to love, but it does hurt when men that you took sweet counsel with. And Buster helped me with this. A lot of y'all don't even know who that was. That's my brother. And I had to deal with a lot of that when I first got saved and pastoring about men that had, we say they disqualified themselves. But Buster told me this, the qualification is not on the man. It's on the position. This is what you got to be to get this position. And when we start putting it up, that's when it gets personal. That's when people take it personal. I can't be the sheriff of Amory, Mississippi. I'm not qualified to be. There's qualifications to own that position. But I'm glad the preacher read all of them. You know, there's more than just one there. And we've got a great challenge before us. Can I talk to you just a moment out of Psalms 89? I feel like before we ever came down this way, we were to deal with the verse we looked at last night. And I want to go back to verse number 10, just one verse. And we stood so you don't have to stand this evening. We introduced you last night to Psalms 89. The author, the human penman, is a man by the name of Ethan. A little bit of it, then it changes and God starts talking. And I like it when we talk, but I really like it when God starts talking. And so Ethan is making much about God. And we don't know a lot about Ethan, but Ethan knew a whole lot about the Lord. And he magnifies him in so many different ways and praises him. And we went through those last night. Now, I would love to preach to you verse 1 and 2 about the mercies of God and the faithfulness of God. And God will be faithful. As bad as it gets and as dark as it gets, God will be faithful. And God will have a remnant. I'm glad for that. And but he's made a covenant with that servant, with his chosen David, his servant. And he talks about how the heavens are going to praise thy wonders, the miracles, and God's greatly to be feared there in verse 7 in the assembly of the saints. And that still applies tonight, you know, that we're to fear God. And we ought to do what we do out of the fear of a good God, a gracious God, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. But I want to look at verse number 10. Here's what he said. Here's what the author said. He said, "Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces, as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm." And a lot of these first verses, they kind of seem to unveil themselves, and you really didn't have to dig a whole lot. You just, you know, had to have a little work of knowledge of God and His mercy and His grace and to understand about Him. But when you get down to verse number 10, he said, "Thou hast broken Rahab." Rahab here is not a person. Rahab is a place. And it's a picture, if you will, of a time when they were in Egypt, when the people of God were in bondage. And it's almost as if Ethan hadn't spent 9 verses and he gets to verse number 10 and he starts talking about when God saved him and delivered him. You know what would take care of a lot of things that was preached about and talked about tonight is a good old dose of getting born again, passing from death unto life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And Ethan knew a lot about the faithfulness of God and the mercy of God because he knew it personally. A lot of people preach about things and reference other things, but when he starts talking about the picture of Egypt and the captivity and the deliverance and the salvation, he knew about the mercy and the faithfulness of God. I remember that blind boy in John chapter 9, God gave him his sight, and his parents, they didn't want thrown out of church. They said, "He's of age, ask him." He really didn't know what all to say, but he said, "This one thing I do know, I once was blind, but now I see." And Ethan is echoing that in verse number 10. I call the beginning. He said, "Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces." And it's a picture of the salvation, an epitaph, if you will, of Egypt. The word broken there, it means to beat into pieces. It means to break and to crush. It means to destroy and to humble. See, you got to understand, some of us were captive in sin. Not everybody got saved at a young age. Best thing you can do is get saved the first time God ever deals with you at a young age, hear the voice of God. Follow the voice of God. You know, these testimonies of scarred and marred and pulled out of ditches and puke and all of that. Thank God for that. But that's not the testimony to have. Serve the Lord when He saves you. As a young person, find you a young, your mate and the future that God has for you. But Rahab had a lot of people. It had a lot of people captive. And that's what God did. God broke that captivity. I don't know a lot, but I knew one thing. God broke a lot of captivity in my life. I'd made a lot of bad choices. It wasn't the crowd's fault, Mom and Daddy. I had a wheel and I chose that wheel and I went real hard at that wheel. But God came to where I was and He broke it in pieces. I couldn't get out. There come a little while there that I wanted out, but I couldn't get out. And it was going to take one stronger than the strong man to do what I could not do. He said, "Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces." pieces. That's what sin, what it'll do. It'll take you captive. We got to quit painting it as, you know, just a little error and a little wrong. You become a slave to self. You'll serve yourself. It'll make you do things you never thought that you would ever do. You become the servant of sin. I remember a day when I toyed with sin and I toyed with the vices and the chemicals that the world had to offer. But I do remember the morning just about that I woke up and it wasn't, am I going to go here? Am I going to do this? Am I going to take this, drink this, smoke this, listen to this? I woke up one morning and it started saying, here's what you'll do. Here's where you'll go. And what the Bible said, there's pleasure in sin for a season. We're telling a generation that there is none, but the Bible said there is. But that season will end one day. When the season ends and you wake up and what you thought you had control of, it's got a control of you. I don't know where God found Ethan, what he brought Ethan out of, but he said, thou hast broken Rahab. Things that had us in total control. We were in bondage to a captor. We couldn't break. We couldn't break clean from ourselves, by ourselves. We were bound to die in that captivity. Had God not released us. No wonder he started out in verse 1. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. Has God saved anybody? It doesn't matter if you come off a church pew or out of a ditch. Whether you were a woman of the night or a deacon's daughter. We're all saved by the grace of God. And we got a story to tell. And Ethan, he don't get 10 verses into this psalm that he stops and says, I want to remind you of a day that God did for me what I could not do for myself. He said, thou hast. God, he couldn't do it. I can't do it. The church can't do it. But he said, thou hast. There is a personal potentate. Don't let that word scare you. He is able to set the captive free. Thou hast broken. That's the power he possesses. I remember sitting there and thinking, I can't quit this. If I get set, my daddy was a preacher. I was raised up around church. I remember when there was a bottle that controlled my life, but it wasn't a bottle of water. I remember walking in places and smelling it, and my lips would start watering. And I thought, brother, I thought if I get saved, I can. I talked to my brother. I said, Buster, there's no way I'll be able to quit. I'll not be able to go through a 24-hour period without something monitoring and getting me up and laying me down. But I'm going to tell you what God did. He broke that captivity. You say, preacher, they're way out there tonight and things have tried. I'm for everything that we can try to bring help. But I'm going to tell you, God, he can break that captivity. He said, thou hast broken Rahab in pieces. There ain't nothing God can't set them free from tonight. I remember preaching at Faith Baptist Camp and I laid my Bible down. Brother Sammy called everybody to pray. He wouldn't let none of us go. He was like keeping us in captivity. You'd get up and start to go, but he said, let's pray some more. Come back this way. And somebody laid a note on my Bible and told me that it was a lady and she had lived a life where she had affection towards another woman. And she said, God set me free from that. She said, you can look around this auditorium, and she said, you'll never know who it was. I'm going to tell you tonight, there ain't no sin God can't break. I got a preacher friend tonight, one of the best preacher friends I've ever had. His daughter lives like a woman. If she walked in that back door, you'd say, sir, the restroom's there. She takes chemicals. She's got a full beard. I mean, the whole nine yards. And the only hope I can give him and Sister Renee is that God can break that captivity. Don't say God can. If you say God can't, you're the Calvinist. There ain't nobody God can't save. There ain't nobody God can't reach. There ain't nobody God can't break that captivity like he did Rahab. He said, thou hast broken Rahab in pieces as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies. Brother Jones, I believe it was, referenced Matthew Henry. Matthew Henry said, God has more ways than one way to deal with his converts' enemies. I'm glad when I get saved, my enemies become his enemies. He said, as one that is slain, thou hast scattered thine. They become his. See, we think that God ought to just immediately annihilate them. So what God does many times is he scatters them abroad as monuments of His mercy and grace. You say, I don't understand. I didn't either. Psalms 59:11, slay them not, lest my people forget. Scatter them by thy power and bring them down, O Lord, our shield. There's no way I can get from where I lived unless I went through Atlanta, and I don't want to go through there. You have to get saved again to drive through Atlanta, Georgia. But when every time I come through Knoxville, my hometown, I see an exit. I see a place. Thank God they tore some of them down. And they're not there now, but in my mind, I can still see that place. I know that exit. I can still see that store over there, and it does bring back memories, and I wish I could say they're just all gone, but if I get to heaven and the street ain't a street of gold, and if somebody stole the gates of pearl, if I can get there and them former things will be passed away, heaven will be a sweet trip, it'll be a sweet journey, but every now and then God doesn't annihilate and take all of that out of the way. They become trophies of His mercy and grace. Told you last night about my brother trying to sing my daddy's song, Thanks to Calvary. And I ain't going to start tonight. But I'm not the man I used to be. I didn't always have on a suit. There was a day that I had hair halfway down my back. You young people don't know what this is. I'd get Ogilvy perms. Y'all don't even know what Ogilvy is. They were in a silver box with the pink rods, stunk like the high heaven. And it was my sister-in-law. And they put them pink rods in there, and I was under this thing. It went over, and it was like a big bowl or something. It was on top of my head, and it was drying it, setting it, whatever. And they'd take that thing off, and they'd pull them pink rods out, and it'd fall down, and I'd shake that head. Then I'd get moose, not an animal. It was in a can. You put about a half a can of moose in your hands and rub it through there. I didn't go to the Marine Corps. I took my EFES test, was ready to go, and they said, we're going to cut your hair. I said, I ain't going. I've not always been saved. I am honored to be here. I don't deserve to be standing here tonight. I've not always been a preacher. I thought I'd look like John Bon Jovi. I know some preachers that have shot people through the heart and give them a bad... Anyway, you know all that. You don't know what that means, Riggy. No, you don't. You've been saved too long. I'm just telling you. There's some places, and even though they bring us back and they remind us of what we used to be, thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. Notice what he said. He said, thou hast broken Rahab in pieces as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies. He said there, he scattered thine enemies. I found out in Exodus 7, he delivered Israel from their plagues. I found out in Exodus 12, he delivered them on the death of the firstborn. I found out in Exodus 14, I ain't never got to preach that, but he delivered them from a great day of pressure. Pharaoh was after them. They had nowhere to go, and they got their backs up against the water. You talk about pressure. Nowhere to turn, nowhere to go. Looked like God had abandoned them and forsaken them. And you know what God did? He didn't take Pharaoh out at that time, but he turned around, and the obstacle that they were facing, he divided it back. I'm going to tell you, this is the greatest trip that I've ever been on. I took a lot of trips and went a lot of places and never left East Tennessee. But I'm going to tell you this thing of being in the family of God. You can wake up sober. You can know where you're at. You can know who you're around. You can have friends dotted all over the country, and you don't know their name, and you never met them, and you sit down in that kindred spirit of the Holy Ghost. They're brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm talking about the big family of God. God opens up helpless and hopeless situations. He said, thou hast broken Rahab in pieces as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies. How did he do it? Latter part of verse number 10. With thy strong arm. The word strong there speaks of force. He can find them tonight. He can forgive them. I mean, there's been so much preaching this week, I don't know who said it. Somebody got over there, probably Brother Sable, got over there in Romans 1 about a reprobate mind. When I got saved in 91, about every camp meeting, somebody was preaching on the danger of a reprobate mind. Had you seen me before God saved me? During that storm up there at Helene, people were sending us money. I mean, people were coming by, preacher, and they were handing me $10,000 cash. I said, had you known me before I got saved, you wouldn't be handing Jimbo Seaton a dollar. Isn't it amazing what God can do with us? Have all of y'all been sitting in church on a Wednesday night with dresses and dressed nice and a Bible in your hand and singing the songs of Zion? I'm going to tell you, every one of us was in some kind of Egypt. Some may have been a way down further, but there's a God that is able by His force, that strong arm, to find us and forgive us. That word strong, it means security. Not only does He find us and forgive us, but He succor, S-U-C-C-O-U-R, over there in Hebrews. It means He can find us to run when we call for and save us. Them free wills up there where I live, they believe you can be saved and lost and saved and lost. I don't believe you can lose your salvation, but God has saved me so many times since I've been saved. I'm not talking about soul salvation. I'm talking about when I could not find the way and I cried out and here He came and He sent a preacher and the preacher had the Word of God, or some dear saint of God had a kind word or a testimony. He is able. That's His strong arm, and He's still able tonight. It talks about His majesty. You know who we need to be making much of? We need to be making much of the One that found us. It means the strong arm means to be praised. I ain't making it up. 5797 in a Strong's Concordance. He's to be praised. Who's He to be praised by? By the people that He purchased. You say, preacher, I'm not anybody that's real outward. And I have to learn, y'all, and y'all don't know me, but I saw some Mississippi State license plates. That means somebody here is a bulldog. That means somebody's got cowbells. I guess you go, ding, 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 ding. Oh, no. My wife's from Georgia. They bark like dogs. I told him, I said, the Bible said the dogs are without. I'm a Tennessee fan. Telling them at the table the other night, Tennessee was, we were volunteers for the foundation of the world. We're just like Jesus and we've been beaten beyond visage. We're just like Jesus, we're coming back one day, you just don't know when. I know we're Southeastern Conference, it's just in us. It don't matter if Iran, what Iran does, when that first kickoff goes in the Southeast Conference, that is going to, Trump's going to have Trumpy, what he called him this morning, Trumpy, just going to have to put everything on the back burner. We're going to play football. But isn't it amazing how we can yell for Johnny, run Johnny Reb. Y'all can't call him Johnny Reb no more, can't. What do y'all call him? I don't know. But you know what I'm saying? Preacher, I just want you to know I'm not turning like that. Yeah, we are. I'm going to tell you, the quietest place we'll ever be is in this world. Oh my, where's that most saints of God? Did y'all ever have them down here? In my daddy's church, old Sister Lowe, she sat right here, probably a preacher sitting there in that gray suit. Sister Lowe and her and Brother Jim Lowe, she'd get to shout. Her hair would be up in bobby pins. Y'all know what these kids don't know what bobby pins are. Hair pins, little bobby pins. And she'd get to shouting and shaking. And before a lot of them bobby pins would go boom, 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 boom. Now, I'm not talking about getting slain in the spirit. But she would shout so much that she'd have to lay down. And Brother Lowe would take that red back. That was good for something even back then. I still like it. I still use it. Even nothing else, fan them old saints right there. He'd fan her like that, and she'd come up, and she'd just be, whoo. Brother Lowe, he had sugar diabetes. They cut his legs off at the nubs, put him in a wheelchair, rode him down. He didn't say, oh, woe is me, and I'm just trying to make it up the rough side of the mountain. He'd say, Miss Lowe, God's been too good to us not to praise Him, make much of Him. That's the God that came to where we were, and He's still able to do it tonight. I know it looks gray, and I know it looks bleak, but the Bible said these days would come. It's been preached to us this week. It surprised us because it's coming in our generation, but He is able to break all of those strongholds. I found three places. I don't even want you to turn. Psalm 77:15, talking about that strong arm. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. Y'all sing that song down here, I'm redeemed by blood divine. Glory, glory. Oh, I remember when I first got saved. It didn't matter if it's doctor. I didn't know. We had Brother James Jones. I didn't realize what all we had around us. I just knew somebody say Jesus. Somebody say thanks to Calvary. And that crowd I grew up with got saved around out of the trailer parks. We was all trash. We was all worthless. Most of us should have been and had been in jail. But God came down to I'm with. And then we got opinionated. And we started biting and devouring one another. God help us to remember where He found us. You say that's shallow. Just let me finish my course. Remembering. I don't want to go into all the details of what I was. But as long as I got my right mind, I don't ever want to forget December 21st, 1991 on a Friday night. God came to where I was. I didn't know all the right things to say. I didn't know all about repentance. I didn't know all about regeneration. I just knew somebody was calling from another world saying, come unto me all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'd heard a lot of calls from a lot of places and had heard a lot of things. But I accepted what He offered that night and He changed. He changed my world. He can still do it tonight. Anybody got anybody lost? What time is it, preacher? I can't even see it. Friday night I got saved. Y'all, some of y'all knew my brother. I had that long hair. He had wanted to cut that. He preached on it, preached at it. And when I got saved, he didn't preach when I got saved. He didn't say, first thing you need to do, cut that. That's not the first thing he said. I burnt my music. I did that. And I went in and I said, Buster, I said, I want to look like a Christian. I had a beard. That's what I tell all these guys now that's got beards. I said, I had one too before I got saved. I didn't tell Brother Jones that or lightning would come down and strike me today. I don't care who's got a beard as long as it ain't on my wife. That's what I've said all my years. I remember that Friday night I got saved. Saturday morning I said, I just want to look like a Christian. I said, just make me look like a Christian. And boy, here Barbara went. My back of my neck was as white as this shirt. It didn't make me a Christian, but I wanted to look like one. That was Friday, Saturday morning. Saturday night, that's December 22nd. All the college games was going on, and I was putting my parlays out, and I'd done all of that. And when I got saved, I quit gambling. And I went to the trailer park that I used to go to. Don't have to go into big detail there, but it was the weekend before Christmas. And sinners just being sinners. Buster said, you can't go. He said, you just got saved. He said, they'll pull you back in. I said, here's the address. I said, Buster, nobody ever come and told us about Jesus. I said, I just want to go tell them that the Lord saved me. I said, if I ain't back in 2 hours, here it is, Lovell Road, you come get me. Now, he would have. I remember going in that trailer park, and boy, it was rocking. Credence. I ain't pulling all that back, but that it was they were just sinners doing what sinners always do. And I went in, and I remember knocking on that door of that trailer, and that door opened. Old Rick, I worked with him. He opened that door, and he got a lot of young people there. He had a little bottle in his hand. And he opened the door. My hair's cut. My beard's trimmed. He looked at me. They called me Bo. He said, Bo, is that you? I said, yeah, Rick. I said, I just want to tell you, the Lord saved me. He had a blunt. Can I say that? Y'all don't know what that is, but some of you do. He took it, and he stuck it in his pocket. And it's lit. And he's doing this. He said, hey, everybody. He said, they didn't know no better. He said, Bo got religion. They didn't know what nothing to say. Another man come out of the back room, and I still don't say his name. He was a linebacker for the University of Tennessee. He'd got hurt. And he come back, and he looked at me, and he took a big inhale of a substance, and he said, Bo, is that you? I said, Steve, it is. He said, what happened, man? I said, I got saved. So I'd heard my daddy say, thanks to Calvary. One day I went back, and they looked at me, and they didn't understand. I said, I just want to tell y'all, the Lord saved me. Has anybody got anybody lost tonight? And here we've said under good Bible preaching, and I mean we've had stuff exposed to us, We've heard enough of Bible tonight to save five worlds. But I'm going to tell you, one thing you can't do is lose hope. He's still able to seek and to save that which is lost. I won't look at that one in Deuteronomy. I did find another one in Deuteronomy. The Bible said, "And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and a stretched out arm." I don't ever want to forget. I don't ever want to forget where the Lord found me and saved me. My daughter, she goes to a liberal church in Calhoun, Georgia. Her pastor's Randy Sutherland or something. Liberal. I told him at the camp when Luke and Esther was engaged, I said, if I can't be their pastor, there's no other man I'd want to pastor my daughter. Brother Randy makes this statement. I didn't realize it made so many people mad. So when I do say it, I say, Brother Randy said it. He said, every church ought to know their pastor's testimony by heart. You ever heard him say that? But you know people, preachers have got mad at me. I thought out of the abundance of the heart. But anyway, my crowd up there on the mountain, they've heard me so much tell the story about when I got saved. Every year we have, it's mountains. I don't know if y'all do it down here in the flatland, but in the mountains they have Christmas programs. You know what our Christmas program was this year? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new, you know what it was about? A long-haired preacher's son with a brother that had got saved. And they had listened. They wouldn't let me come to the practices or anything. That first night, they brought me and my wife in there. They had made a full Chevrolet Silverado. That's what I was in the night I got saved. Had I been in a Ford, I don't know if I'd have got in. As a Dodge, I'd be back. If you didn't kill it, a Dodge, a Ford ain't going to kill it. They had took a grill out of an 87 Silverado and put headlights. And Bubba, my boy, was in there. And he was in there the night God. That's where I was talking to God in that pickup. I said, God, if you can save, like you said, God, if you can save me. Not doubting him. See, I knew what I was and I still know what I am. And old Bubba was in there and I listened to it for the first practice. And he got to weeping. I said, Lord, if you can save anybody, would you save me? He had the lights. They had the lights on at Silverado. And then the curtain went down, and then they hear it come up. And here's Bubba knocking on the door at Buster's house that night. Buster come to the door and said, Barbara, take the kids to the back. He's killed somebody. One young man did die before I got saved, and I remember Buster coming to the door, and I said, Buster, I said, I can't go no further. I said, I asked the Lord to save me in that pickup truck. They went through every bit of that. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, not perfect, not sinless, but new. It's new. I know that's the two passages that the Lord put in our heart as we come down, even before we got down here. You got to be careful getting called, you know, in the atmosphere, but that's the two assignments that the Lord gave us. Don't ever forget where He found you. Don't reminisce, you know, all of the wickedness and the vileness, all that'll be, it's passed away, amen. But I'm going to tell you, I don't ever want to forget. And then the night that he called me to preach, somebody said the pastor, was it Calvary? Where Brother Mac Phillips was? Have you got a fellowship, Paul? Is there a telephone still in it? My brother answered that phone. I called him from Knoxville. They went and got him. He was down here in Amory, Mississippi, Brother Mac Phillips. He was preaching revival. And I said, Buster? He said, what's wrong? I said, I surrendered to preach tonight. He started crying. He said, boy, he wasn't my daddy, but he was like a dad. He tried to be. He said, boy, he said, I'm happy for you that you was obedient to the Lord, but he said, I'm sad for you because I know what you're going to face. And I can't quote it, but here's what he said. He said, any man taking hold of the plow and looking back is not fit. That's how we got priesthood. I don't ever want to forget it. You know, memory's not a bad thing unless you make it. I'm glad there's some good memories. We're making memories tonight. I'm glad the Lord's still able to seek and to save. Lord, I thank you for allowing us to have part, and Lord, just what you've done. And Lord, we've sat at a great table this year. Lord, so many things have been put on the table. Lord, there's no way we could partake of all of it like these ladies have cooked out here every service. But Lord, every bit of it's been good and fine and straight from heaven. And Lord, would you just remind me, Lord, I don't ever want to forget, Lord, what you did for me. Lord, how indebted I am to you. You owe me nothing. You owe me nothing. But Lord, I want to do like the man of God said tonight. I want to continue. And Lord, we've been given a good road to hoe. It's clear, it's plain, it's straight. Lord, all we got to do is keep it. We're not far from the end of the journey. And Lord, I do pray for this next generation that you'd strengthen them and help them. Lord, you do what needs to be done. You know it. Lord, you know it before it ever was. You know it yesterday, today, and tomorrow all at the same time. Equip this generation. Lord, I pray for that one tonight that's got somebody way out there and in the back of their mind, like this psalmist. Lord, they may think that you're not able, that they're too far gone. Lord, I'm glad there ain't nobody too far gone for you. Oh my, if we were to turn out the lights and put all of our past up on these walls, most of us would walk out and leave. But God, you came to where we were and did what we could not do. Somebody needs to hear our story. Somebody needs to be reminded that you can. Do it again, Lord. Make trophies of grace for your honor, for your glory. And we'll thank you for all that's accomplished. In your name we pray. Amen.